Hi everyone, this is Alison from Foresight Institute. In this audio version of our Existential Hope World Building course, I introduce our course participants to a few prompts for thinking positively about technological and cultural aspects of the future. To learn more about Foresight's World Building course, go to existentialhope.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to Foresight's World Building course. This is definitely an experiment which was enabled by Future of Life Institute. So thank you, Future of Life Institute, for that. And this is a little bit more of a kind of like fun presentation drawn together from a few individual bits that I think of often when I think about existential hope. And as you think about the worlds that you're rebuilding, I want to encourage you to perhaps also start thinking about, you know, how is it that we got to where we currently are? There's one quote from the Human Project, and it starts with this question of like, who are we? 13.7 billion years ago, we were crammed into a single point. Then a little bit later, 10 billion years ago, we were stars exploding into existence. 3 billion years ago, we were bacteria, we were all alive. 1,000 years ago, we were all God's creations. 100 years ago, we had proved we're one species, descended from the same evolutionary ancestors. 60 years ago, we declared we're all humans, entitled to the same human rights. And today we could tell a much bigger story. And that's why many of you are here today, of like, what would it mean and to create the world of tomorrow, and to create identities that really take us places with the technologies that we have at hand. And so the other question often becomes, okay, where are we really racing to here? Oftentimes, and many of you have noted this already in your introduction, when we think about the future, it's often like a times of future that is, you know, really marked by existential risk, I think, these days. And Nietzsche said it like relatively poetically, and he basically envisioned this world of like in some remote corner of the universe, put out and glittering in innumerable solar systems, there once was a star on which clever animals invented knowledge. That was the highest and most mendacious minute of world history, yet only a minute. After nature had drawn a few breaths and the star grew old and the clever animals had to die. There have been eternities when it did not exist, and when it's done for again, nothing will have happened. And I feel like sometimes we do think about rather like doomy ways about what the future really holds for humanity. Where we really want to encourage you throughout the course to really think about what alternatives could look like. And here's one quote that I really like from Eric Drexler, who co-founded Foresight in the book Engines of Creation that led to our formation. And he has this quote of, whether anyone else is out there or not, we are on our way. Expansion will proceed if we survive because we're part of a living system and life tends to spread. Pioneers will move outward into worlds without end. Others will remain behind, building settled cultures throughout the ages of space, where goals change and complexity rules, limits need not bind us. New technologies will nurture new arts, and new arts will bring new standards. The world of brute matters offers room for great but limited growth. The world of mind and pattern, though, holds room for endless evolution and change. The possible seems room enough. And this is interesting because holding both of these worlds in our hand, not being Pollyannish about the real kind of, you know, catastrophic and possibly existential risk that we have facing forward, but also really holding them and thinking about the more positive worlds, not just thinking about the worlds that we don't want to build, but really the worlds that we could be building instead if we don't go extinct. This is really what this course is about. And obviously, there will be a technological component at the beginning, and then there'll be a societal component. When thinking about both of them, I want to encourage you to think quite creatively about them. For example, when you think, let's say, about longevity biotechnology, I really want you to think about what would it feel like to have the health of your early 20s combined with the wisdom of generations? What would it look like to see your grandchildren's grandchildren grow up? So don't just think about the technological aspect, perhaps, but also really like what it would look like for society to adopt these technologies in a beneficial way. When you think about nanotechnology, not just think about the kind of like specific technologies that you want to encourage, but what would possibly like a truly abundant future look like? What could we repair in our current biosphere? And what could we build if costs and externalities are not or perhaps less of an issue? When we think about neurotechnology, really imagine worlds in and what would it feel like to connect deeply with yourself and with the sentiences around you? And what would it feel like to feel what your friend feels, to see what an eagle sees, to possibly connect even with digital intelligences? So really ask these kind of like more creative questions. When you think about space technologies, what would it really look like to see the universe with life? And how far would you perhaps personally want to venture out and perhaps even not? Where would you settle and what would you build? And lastly, with AI, I think oftentimes we really are focused on the types of questions that we could answer with increased intelligence, but I also really want you to think about what new questions could we possibly ask with increased intelligence. This is like for the technology stack, and we have different also folks that you can draw on in the Foresight ecosystem. So if you have specific people that you want to talk to in these technologies, please do reach out to me. Instead of just thinking relatively creatively about the technologies, there's obviously this other component as well that we get to in the world. And that is more the kind of mushy bits of human society, economics, values, and so forth. You know, we all are pretty hopefully or possibly familiar with the current like meme space or, you know, like the space of thinking about long-term futures. Obviously, we have the effective altruism movements and then the recent effective accelerationism movements. And, you know, some of you may be interested in one or both of them. But the interesting bit was that it also birthed these like new memes. There's the DEAC post that Vitalik Buterin wrote on defense accelerationism. Then there's one from Trent McConaughey, where he wrote about brain-computer interface accelerationism. And then from Andrew Kapathy about intelligence amplification accelerationism. So there's these all of these different meme spaces that are like boiling up right now, sometimes in not super, I guess, fruitful ways that they currently clash on the internet. And I really want you to think perhaps even transcending the current canon of different movements around the future, but really think from first principles of what would it look like to create beautiful worlds. One really interesting concept here is the notion of a protopia. This is from Kevin Kelly. And in that notion, he thinks about rather than thinking about one perfect end state, what would it look like to think more about the journey? We've already come a long way as civilization. And so what would it look like to perhaps have incremental improvements in things that we care about, such as more peace, better health, better education, that could already get us quite a long way. Another interesting one that I like to think about is the notion of Pareto-topia. This one was developed from Mark Miller and Eric Drexler quite a while ago. And they basically lay out that even by just improving the existing cooperative infrastructure that we have in society, what if we could increase Pareto-preferred interactions across humans so that more individuals could reach the world that they prefer, each by their own standards? So I think it's another kind of like interesting way to think about the future. We obviously have this notion of a weirdtopia. This one is, I think, from Ilya Ziolkowski. And he basically like points to the idea that as our world advances, our challenges and opportunities will like pretty much evolve. And so will also our perception of what is ideal. And so slowly we may end up in worlds that are pretty different to the ones that we currently have. And so just if you imagine like our ancestors from the 17th century being like juxtaposed on our current society, they may find it pretty weird. So may we also find the worlds that we will in the future inhabit pretty weird. But perhaps that's not even quite that bad, because after all, we may not very much like to live in the kind of, you know, a few hundred years ago when we had, you know, massive levels of inequality, some religious fanaticism and oppression that seem rather alien to us right now. So I think we need to think about the weirdness of these worlds as well. At the same time, there may be a few things that we may want to retain. There's another, I think, last one post that really talks about a few laws of fun. So oftentimes when we think about utopia or like about positive worlds or something, you know, they could possibly look rather bland, but there may be a few kind of things that just give us as like our current human embodied selves really value. And, you know, just like in a video game, for example, where if the game is too easy, it may get boring, then there may be like a few kind of like laws that like maybe say that, you know, what maybe the futures that we want to inhabit are the ones which continue to challenge us as we evolve and grow. And so maybe there's a few of these kind of almost pillars that we want the futures to still contain as we build like really ambitious worlds throughout the world build. This one is perhaps the last one that is interesting. This one is from Scott Alexander, and it's on atomic communitarianism. And he basically says that imagine that rather than all of the polarization that we currently have, where so many different value systems clash online, what would it look like to have instead value-aligned individuals that could form individual subcultures? So it's almost like these little bubbles that kind of like coexist in a larger archipelago or like an ecosystem that accounts for externalities around them and that upholds peace between them. So I think that thinking creatively about what new systems of like even interaction and cooperation could look like as we move forward is basically what I want to encourage you to do in these world builds. So finally, as you go about in the next few weeks and where we really will start with the technology stack, move from society values to economics and so forth, I really want to encourage you to think about the juxtaposition of like creative yet credible futures. So feel free to draw from the stack of existing technologies that we already have and the like social meme and economic systems that we have built up, but also think rather creatively about what could it look like if we transcend those and think a little bit more transdisciplinary by combining in individual bits and pieces into wonderful, creative, yet credible worlds. So that just to spark your imagination perhaps a little bit. I have much more to say on either one of them, and we're really happy to help you as much as we can. I've definitely come across a lot of different readings on different topics while building the Existential Hope website and resource list, but that just to give you like a few pieces of inspiration as you build these worlds.